Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
We are here for another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean with Ryan and JJ.
Hello.
What's up?
All right, guys. 1-3. We're off to a good start. But this weekend...
Same as last year.
What were the Pats? I think they were catching 9.5 points, something like that.
Yeah, I thought against it was 10, the spread. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody and their mother was picking the Packers in this game, putting like money line, whatever it was. But being at the stadium, I was fortunate enough to go to the stadium this last weekend, and the fans were it's like this really funny mix of cockiness and friendliness, where it's like this really like the most good-natured ribbing of the opponent's fan base. I've been at stadiums where it's not good-natured. This one was real nice. Everyone was jolly. The amount of green in that stadium, staggering. We were talking beforehand. I don't know how, I want to hear your guys' opinion how it looked on TV, but we thought it would be like 10% Patriots fans there. What do you think? I mean, at the end of the game, we were like maybe 1%, 2%.
Really?
Maybe.
Oh, wow, is that much?
I really didn't notice, to be honest. It didn't jump out of the screen at me. I'll say that.
But think about it. You go to a Patriots game, and there are plenty of fans there who are ostensibly Patriots fans. No jersey, not necessarily wearing blue. They could be wearing gray.
Sure. I almost never wear anything when I go.
Just dressed in a hoodie, whatever it is. Like, at the Packers game, everyone, you're wearing green. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
That's like the Steelers in Pittsburgh, right? Everyone has a jersey.
Everyone's got it, yeah. Jersey, they got yellow. But it was a phenomenal experience. It was like a modern stadium, the conveniences and everything to it. But obviously the history of that stadium is staggering. So
yeah,
it was a tremendous experience. And fortunately, the Patriots made it a game. And everything was going... I mean, if you told us, hey, by the way, your backup quarterback is going to start and he's going to get knocked out in the first quarter, you'd be like, we're screwed. That's it.
Yeah.
All we got is a rookie behind that.
Except our backup is Brian Hoyer, who is terrible.
Well,
but I get your point.
Yeah. And you're playing Aaron Rodgers on the road, the whole thing. So Bailey Zappe comes in, keeps him in the game, and ends up being this back and forth thing, goes all the way to overtime. I mean, first half, what are you guys thinking at halftime? You look down and you go, we're winning? Like, Ryan, what are you thinking at that
point? I mean, that was a huge momentum play, the pick six. Aaron Rodgers' body language is just like atrocious. You're feeling good going in, and you're not taking a lot of chances. Your running game's working. Defense looked pretty good in the first half, and going into the second half, I think, you know, for playing your third string quarterback, I mean, you're not going to get a much better feeling than going in like that. 10-7 at halftime. It was a tight game all the way through. Pats played pretty well under the circumstances, and you know, a couple bad things here and there, and Isaiah Wynn specifically to me was just a fucking turnstile for Rashawn Gary, who looked he's an incredible player. I don't want to take anything away from him, but my God, the penalties on Isaiah Wynn, he looked like he was on another planet. I don't know what he was doing. He was by far our worst player, and he got benched for a guy that we just picked up this week off the scrap heap, Marcus Cannon. Welcome back. And once Marcus Cannon came in to take over and he got benched, it was like, it was fine, you know?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was great when those guys were both out there together, when Marcus Cannon was playing tight end.
Yeah.
We were just loving life when they announced in the stadium, 61 is coming in as eligible. We're like, power football, let's get it. This guy's 360 pounds. Get up behind him.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, you know, being in this game at that point and what we were able to keep Rodgers to, I think he had four completions in the first half there.
Yeah.
He threw the pick six, which we know about. You know, he didn't look good. His receivers were dropping passes. He wasn't on the mark. It seemed like our defense had really done what they could to keep him off balance and kind of keep him guessing things, and that was great. And, you know, our running game looked really good throughout the entire game. Zappe was able to come in, you know, as you were saying, he definitely had his mistakes, but kept them to a minimum. He had the one forced fumble, which was, I think, as you were saying, Isaiah Wynn was the cause of that one.
Yeah.
unfortunately. But, you know, he took some big, bad sacks, but he wasn't super erratic with the football. He wasn't just, like, throwing it up. And, he, you know, when he was throwing it, he was being very careful of throwing it to completely wide-open receivers, you know, with really careful passes. Even the ones he was, you know, the first few passes when he went in there, you could tell he was really nervous, which is understandable. I mean, this is, as you're saying, Sean, this is Lambeau Field. This is a hard place to play. Luckily, it was good weather, so that was nice. They didn't have that huge advantage over this kid. But he was throwing low. He was really, you know, not trying to throw interceptions.
Yeah.
And the offensive game plan really reflected that. And I, as you know, Ryan, you made a quick mention to it. Like, that was good to see. And that's kind of more what we were all, I think, expecting. You know, just easy play. You know, even Mac, like last year, Mac, I think we were talking about it last week, was, you know, last year, Mac was really, you know, really coddled in a way of play calling, where it's like they were giving him easy throws. They were giving him, you know, focusing on the run game. Power football, as you were saying, Sean, and really, you know, making easy passes, things that are simple. And then this year, it's like guns blazing, throw it downfield, throw it downfield. And then with Zappe, Patricia's forced to do a simpler game plan. And it's like, why isn't that the game plan we've been going with all year, which is power football, set up, you know, use the run to set up the pass, not the other way around. Scheme up some receivers to be open. And there were some, you know, the passes he made, the Aguilar was wide open a couple plays. Bourne was. Devontae Parker, touchdown. He was wide the hell open. And it's like, we haven't seen any of that the first 3 weeks, where guys were wide open and it was simple, easy reads. The defense was biting on the run, and that's what we needed. So that was some good stuff. And then the second half, it kind of unraveled a little bit. But it was still a game, and he had every chance to win it. And that's what you want going into, you know, an away game. And it's just unfortunate at the end that we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, to say, per se, in overtime, where, you know, and even at the end of the game, where we had the ball, and we had the ball in overtime, defense had done finally what they needed to do, even though they were started to struggle, and we just couldn't pull the trigger to make it happen. And it's very similar to last year in Tampa and in against Dallas, where we had these games where it's just like, we don't trust the quarterback. So, and we didn't even need to throw it. But we'll get into all that, but that was a disappointment.
I like what you say there. I mean, we've been calling for this for the last 2 years. What our team is good at is running the ball, and we have a two-headed monster back there.
And set up for two. They draft for running the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Cole Strange is a run blocker right now, if you ask me, but 32 carries for 152 yards between those two guys. Ramondre got a handful of targets even out of the backfield. They set up they finally set up the play action correctly, the way we've been kind of wanting. Even Zappe looked good on the play action. He threw the ball away a couple times, which is nice to see. If it's not there, get rid of it. I mean, Mac Jones could take notes from that. He doesn't really throw the ball away, you know. I was generally really happy with the game plan. It was ultra conservative, but that's kind of what you need when you have a rookie quarterback in his first game on the road. Green Bay wasn't expecting to play, and you know, it's your third string in there. And I thought he did a pretty good job. You know, it's definitely I would say like a B plus for just having your first start in there and hanging in with those guys. And you're right, we had a chance at the end of the game, but we started on the 50. And we had just some negative plays, and Bill didn't trust him to go for it on 3rd and 5.
Yeah.
Punts the ball, tries to give Aaron Rodgers the short field, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to do that. But by no means did Aaron Rodgers impress and win that game. What it was, really, was the run defense for the Pats was really struggling. Last 2 weeks they've been struggling against the run. Mostly Lamar Jackson. It wasn't like any designed runs for running backs in that game. But we got gashed. Aaron Jones absolutely gashed us in the second half.
Yeah.
It's something they need to address. Guys losing contain, specifically Jack Jones, twice on the first the Christian Watson drive where he scored the touchdown. Jack Jones lost contain twice in a matter of like three plays on that, and one of them was a touchdown. The other one was Aaron Jones was stopped in the backfield and ran around him for like, you know, modest pickup, but that's something we got to get ironed out. Defense, by and large, I mean, not horrible, but they needed the defense to kind of win them that game, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, totally. I had agree with like everything you guys are saying. I got two additional take homes from this game. Number one, this is just tagging along. I mean, this was the game of the rookies, the 2022 rookie class. You had Bailey Zappe playing the quarterback position, running the ball super effectively to the left side behind Cole Strange and Trent Brown, obviously. But in addition to that, Jack Jones, he was playing super well in the first quarter. And it got to the point where I actually said out loud, Jack Jones is playing incredibly well. And then right afterwards, he missed a tackle. They threw a couple passes against him. I was like, ah, shit. And then he redeems himself and gets a pick six. The second one Aaron Rodgers has ever thrown.
He also forced a fumble, too. Yeah.
He forced a fumble too early.
Yeah.
So he's making big plays, but he's got to do some of the little things. He's getting beaten coverage quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are things, for, especially, what was he, a fourth-round pick? Like, that'll come. Just the fact that he can read the quarterback so well and anticipate so well, and, you know, that pick six, I mean, that was a good play. Like, you can call it what you want. There's so many cornerbacks who can't do that. So the fact that he read it, he saw the whole thing, he jumped it and took off, it's like, that was a great play. And even, you know, I think the forced fumble was a great play, but it kind of worked against him later in the game. Because they're just saying with missed tackles, like he made a great punch out and got it. And it was like, wow, that's a great heads up play. But then the rest of the game, instead of going low when he had a chance for it, he kept going for the ball, which is cool. And, you know, you like to see, but when you don't have help behind you, and if you miss the tackle, it's going to be like plus 10 yards. Like, you got to just take him out and get him at the legs when you can. So, you know, that's a learning curve, but he's got, you know, the real raw tools to hopefully be a really good cornerback.
Yeah, another huge bright spot for me was Marcus Jones.
Return game, dude.
They finally found the returner, and I've been clamoring for this since they drafted him. This kid should be returning everything.
And he looked great. What did he get? He got 20 yards every freaking time he touched the ball.
He had two returns on punts. One was 29 yards and one was 20. He had a 37-yard kick return. He had averaged 27.8 on kick return. I mean, he's just dynamic. You look at his tape from Houston, and I don't even think Miles Bryant returned kicks in college at all. There's no stats on that, and I looked it up. But Marcus Jones, you watch his tape at Houston, and it's just like, this is the best returner in the country by a healthy margin. And there's no reason – I'd like to see him get some defensive snaps. He had zero defensive snaps. I'd like to see him get more there, but he's a lock. He's a lock punt returner.
Yeah, he's really good. And the last rookie to touch on is just didn't play in the game, but Tyquan Thornton, second-round pick, wide receiver, Baylor, practicing. He's back practicing, so the window begins for taking him off of IR.
I thought he wasn't eligible till week 8. Is that correct?
He will be eligible till week 6, I believe.
Okay, that's not so bad. The other one, I thought Brendan Schuler?
Schuler, yeah.
Is it Schuler or Schuler? It looks like Schuler.
I always go with Schuler, but
well, he can play. He's a really good gunner. He got screwed on one of those penalties. What was it? Horse collar? Wasn't even close. He had like his number.
Oh, really?
You didn't see that? The punt return?
No, they don't show those replays.
Oh my god, dude, it was a joke. It wasn't even close to a horse collar.
Oh, good.
Oh yeah, no, he grabbed his jersey.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was terrible. The refs in this game, whether it was for us or against us, they were just terrible. I mean, the lead ref made the wrong call twice, calling the wrong team. Like, you know,
97 on offense.
See that? And he did it twice. And it's like, one was for us, one was against us. And it's like, what is he talking about? And it's like, oh, I mean, defense. And it's like, Jesus. And then, you know, a game like this where they really weren't calling pass interference. I gotta say, on that last scoring drive for Green Bay to tie the game, there was a big third, and I think it was 7 or 8 that they didn't get. And then they call a ticky tack. Really, it should have been, if anything, it should have been pass, you know, holding, defensive holding, because I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Johnny Jones, got just a small handful. And they called it PI.
Yeah.
And it's like, that gave him a first down, spot of the ball foul. It should have, if anything, just been a 5-yard infraction and a first down.
Right.
And it was, I mean, they were letting things go like that all day.
Right.
And then you see it on, you know, I don't mind if you're going to call it throughout the game, or, you know, you could call that any single play you wanted. And they called it on a third and long that they didn't convert. you know, that's just such a pain in the balls to see. So this whole crew, I was not impressed by anything.
I think it was 7-2 penalties. Last I checked, it was 7-2 penalties in favor of the Packers. But yeah, just like you don't know if it's the offense or defense. It was a joke. I don't mind the calls going back and look at them, except for the horse collar. That was bullshit. But be consistent. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. You don't know what you can do. You know, we've been playing this way the whole game, and now it's a penalty.
Yeah, right. Seven Absolutely. Patriots penalties to four called against the Packers. So then the second other takeaway that I have is Patriots won the turnover battle in this game. First time.
Yeah.
You know, they come in having lost it consistently so far this season. Really terrible turnover margin throughout. They win the turnover battle. Two takeaways to one giveaway. Ends up not getting him the W, but you can see how it gets you close to a team that, you know, people are picking the Packers to have the best record in the NFC. It's a very popular pick. I mean, you could say it's because their division's not very good, but this is a good team, and they took them to overtime with their third-string rookie quarterback, and that's how far winning the turnover battle can...
They got a little bit lucky, too, with Dobbs not catching that, or not bringing the ball through the ground in at the end of regulation. That could have been a touchdown. That should have been a touchdown. I've seen worse calls. Like, the guy could have been, they could have called it a touchdown, honestly.
Yeah, it was close. But, so now the Pats find themselves 1-3. We knew it was going to be a tough first month. You know, you got a game in Miami, you're playing the Ravens, you're playing at Green Bay. Difficult first month. They wind up with Mac Jones missing a game. He's practicing again, limited fashion, but he is potentially back for this weekend. Brian Hoyer placed on IR with a head injury. So now you're looking at either Mac or Zappi coming up for the next few games. We'll see if Mac's able to get back out there. Jacoby Myers also was a scratch for this game.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Injury.
Yeah.
He's practicing again. Again, limited participant, but he's a maybe. Jonnu's practicing, but he's got a hurt ankle. He might not actually suit up.
Does nothing for the offense regardless.
Yeah, but there's him and Henry. Another dud for Henry too, huh?
Another dud. Yeah. I know, right? He doesn't do a thing.
He was at least getting open, I think, you know, but I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know. The whole second half of this game is kind of a disappointment. It seemed like we didn't adjust on defense when we needed to, and Rodgers started going. We just let them run all freaking over us.
I don't really understand.
It's
How
like,
was our run defense this bad?
We had a game plan, and we just, you know, went with it, and then they adjusted, and we didn't, and they started being able to take chunk plays out of us. And you were still in it, and then the thing that kills me is, you know, you have Marcus Jones is a great return in overtime. You stop Rodgers in three downs, punts the ball. Marcus Jones is a great return, gets you incredible field position at your own 45-ish. And all you need is like 20 yards to go. And we've been running the ball for 6 yards a carry. And, you know, we're moving it. And then, like, right over the 50, we run it twice, throw it, and we don't get it. And then we punt it on a fourth and five. And it's like, I would have run it all four downs. I would have, or schemed up on second down. It's, you know, our second down play, they knew exactly what we were doing. They stopped it for a loss. And, you know, after hearing about it, apparently we ran that play 9 times before in critical situations exactly the same way. And then, you know, they pick up on it. Once again, they made adjustments that we didn't, and they stop us. And, you know, it's like once, you know, I think the coaching looked a lot better in this game, and I think Bill did a really good job scheming things up beforehand. But the in-game, you know, adjustments I thought were really just not there. And, you know, you should plan for four down territory on that. All you have to do is get another 10 yards from there, and you kick a field goal, you go home, you win a game that nobody thought you were going to win. Instead, we punted, and it's like we had nothing to lose. You're in overtime on the road against a really, you know, potentially good team, and we played scared. It's like, why are you playing? Like, the worst you do is you lose this game.
Well, not really. So they punted with 7 minutes to go in overtime.
Yeah.
They had just stopped the Packers on a 3-and-out. They still have 2 timeouts. I mean, you're not playing for the tie at that point with 7 minutes to go.
I know that, but you really think that you knew once as soon as they punted the ball up to Aaron Rodgers, we were done.
No, I didn't know that.
I knew that. Deep down, I was like, "Where is no chance?"
I didn't know that because honestly, I didn't think Aaron Rodgers was very good in this game at all. But he was definitely better in the second half.
I didn't think so either. But two, you know, any decent quarterback, you give him the ball twice in overtime. That's it. Because they know now. All I need is a field goal in this.
Yeah. The second and third down there is what lost us the game. The Damian Harris over the left tackle for no gain, and then the incompletion to Hunter Henry. I mean, that was really the difference in the game. And, you know, you can nitpick, but, I mean, I think that was pretty – there was a lot of things to feel positive about coming – and I know we're 1-3, and I think we're last in the division because the Jets won.
Yeah,
Jets won,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But you're down to your third string, and – I thought the coaches were pretty good. I mean, Belichick's coaching his ass off this year. If you see him on the sideline, he's as animated as ever. He's going at the officials. He's going to talk to the offense, Zappy and Mac Jones. He's missing plays on defense, like, multiple times this year just because he's really working with that offense. And, you know, he's kind of done it to himself by hiring these guys that he doesn't trust enough to, right? He doesn't trust them enough to make the right adjustments. So he's got to go over and talk to the player, and then he's missing plays. And, I mean, you got to give him credit because of how hard he's trying, but at the same time, he kind of did this to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this game was one of the national games this weekend. They actually had a number of national games because the early game was in London. Saints playing the Vikings in London. I love seeing the crowd during those games because they just wear whatever they got. They got, like, a Bills jersey from the 80s, and they're like... Are the Bills playing? No. So those are fun. That game is just wild. The back and forth in the last 2 minutes. The Saints hit like a 60-yard field goal to tie it up. Then the Vikings take the lead, and then the Saints have another try. I think it was like a 61-yarder that hits the side upright and the crossbar and bounces out. It was insane. It would have been good from like 64 if he just shaded it a little bit. But... what a wild game that was. And then it leads into the early window, and you think that there are going to be these two big upsets from basically the front runners in the AFC and NFC. The Bills go down 14-0 to the Ravens. The Eagles go down 14-0 to the Jaguars. And I'm sitting there like, are we going to see both of them take another hit this week or take a first hit for the Eagles? And then I didn't get to watch the second half of the game, and I look back and, oh, they came all the way back, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens, it seems like classic John Harbaugh, you know, antics where their offense just fell apart in the second half, and then they had a chance, I think, to take the lead.
They did. It was
late
tie game.
In the game.
Chance to take the lead, yep. The
to
fourth
kick
down.
The field goal, and he decided to go for it. It's like, what are you, out
the
of
analytics,
your
dude.
Damn mind? And yeah, the analytics, pick, that's right. What he said. He goes, oh, the analytics, and he threw a pick. Yeah. So they were like, oh, well, at least we'll keep him back, and it's like, not if you turn the ball.
By the way, I just want to mention this. You told me Jordan Poyer was out last
night. I thought he was.
And he played, and I picked the Bills because I thought they were both out, Hyde and Poyer.
They said he was
And I wouldn't have done that. I had the Ravens as my pick. And
well, they apparently played. I mean, he wasn't supposed to play, and then
he
played.
He's a good player. Yeah,
but, I mean,
he's a really good player.
What are you doing going for – Harbaugh lost two games last year doing that. And it's like the same situation going for it when you should just kick a field goal. And it's like, he's like, yeah, I can see why in hindsight we would go for the points. It's like, oh, really? Like, dude, that is what you do is you're tied in the fourth quarter. You get freaking points.
Yeah. And they had done a pretty decent job that game of keeping the Bills in check. And it's kudos to your offense. You think your offense can do it, but it's also a slap in the face to the defense. That you don't think they can do it. You know what I mean? So
right.
I would take the points there. It puts you up.
You have to take the points.
There's like 4 minutes left, too. It's like you could get the ball again.
Yeah,
you know?
you have to put the pressure on them to get a touchdown, not just a field goal. They went on a fucking field goal.
I'm pretty sure there was like 4.5 minutes left in that game when he did that.
Yeah, it's absurd. That's an absurd move. I don't get it.
What a mistake. And then the Eagles improved to 4-0. They were already the only undefeated team remaining. And they're going to
Jacksonville gave them a good
weekend,
game,
which doesn't sound that bad. But when you look at their schedule, it's one of the toughest tests that they have still remaining
on
their schedule.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Lucky them.
Miles
Sanders looks good, huh? I mean,
he's been running well.
Jalen Hurts looks good. I saw Devontae Smith. He was mic'd up. He was so cold. I think he had a goose egg. He might have had one catch, but
yeah.
I mean, it was rainy, windy. I mean, it wasn't that cold, but all you hear is him bitching on the sidelines about how cold it was. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, put some body fat on.
Not a great game for Hurts, but they pull it out. I think it was a pick six early in the game to Cisco, kid from Syracuse. Not a great game for Trevor Lawrence either, though.
So
11 for 23 for 174, sacked four times. That Philly defense, man, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good indeed. Also, we mentioned this before, the Jets get a win against the Steelers. Zach Wilson starting his first game of the season. Steelers making the change halfway through from Trubisky. Man, I got confused. I was like, he's on the Bears. No. Yep.
The Kenny Pickett.
From Trubisky to Pickett. Pickett throws tiny three picks. Gloves. I mean, it's in his name. I don't know how we didn't put this together before the draft, but his name's Pickett, and he throws interceptions. I mean, how did we not see it?
Yeah,
they're not good. The Steelers got a big problem. But on the other side, I thought Zach Wilson looked really good.
Did he?
Not as good as he was like the last, seven games of last year, but for his first game back, I thought he was taking what the defense gives him through. I think he was only 50%, threw for like 250 yards. I think he threw a couple picks too, but I mean, they got a lot of weapons there now. You know, you look around Berrios, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, who's the tight end there? The tight end's pretty good, Garrett Wilson. They got two really high picks at running back, Breece Hall and Michael Carter.
Did they sign, was it CJ Uzama?
Uzama and Conklin, I think they have. And Conklin's been the better of the two so far. I mean, they're kind of on the up. Everybody's on the up right now in the AFC East, it looks like, except for us.
Yep. We'll see. We should be on the up pretty soon here. And then,
I hope so.
Speaking of old AFC East guys, Josh McDaniels and the Las Vegas Raiders get on the board with their first win of the year.
Finally.
Against the lowly Denver Broncos. I mean, I would like to say that the Broncos are the worst two-win team in the NFL right now, but the Bears have two.
Right.
Yeah, well.
And the Jets, too.
I take the Jets over the Broncos right now. It's pretty sad.
Denver, just performance-wise, I don't care about their record so much, but performance-wise, they've been the most disappointing. Well, the Colts. The Colts and the Broncos, and they're both playing right now. They've been the most disappointing teams for me.
Yeah, now they're on national TV. As I know. Speak.
What's the score of that one? You guys have it on?
I don't know. James, got us an update.
I just went to a commercial. I've been paying attention, but I think it's 6-6.
Yeah, the Colts are a mystery. They beat the Chiefs.
Riveting game.
And then they lose to, like, they tie the Texans and lose to the Jaguars. And I mean, they're a mystery, man.
Yeah. Okay, and then Tom Brady plays host to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in Tampa Bay on Sunday night. High-scoring affair. Everybody, I mean, myself included, I was saying the Tampa Bay defense is extremely legit. And is really difficult. I mean, we saw what they did to this Packers offense where they only gave up 14 points or 12 points, it might have been, in that game. And Patrick Mahomes puts up 40. And Brady was holding serve for a good chunk there. I mean, they got down early.
Yeah, they were out of it pretty quick. You know, Kansas City was just powerhousing it and scored a lot fast. So Brady was on, like, the got to go after it. And it was like the type of Brady game where, you know, he like ran out of time. Like by the time he figured it out, their defense had figured things out, it was too late. And, you know, which will happen. I mean, Mahomes looks really good. The Chiefs look really good. Everyone was expecting them to take a step back. And, you know, Brady's having a tough go out there. I got to say, their offensive line doesn't look great. Their receivers can be hit and miss. He's clearly going through a lot in his personal life. Doesn't help anything. So yeah. I'm going to be curious to see how it all plays out for good old Tommy B.
He's looking rough. He's looking like he's losing some weight. Maybe depression.
He looks really stressed.
He does. I mean, I don't blame him losing your wife, and who knows what's going to happen. It sounds like they're getting to some of my business. But, I mean, he threw 52 times. For 385 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions.
Yeah,
what I'm not gonna. You can't really put that on him, can you? I mean, your defense allowed 41 points. I mean, Tom Brady still. I don't care what he's going through. Those are incredible numbers.
Yeah. I mean, on the field, he's got it. He's got it.
Yeah, fucking Brady, dude. I mean.
Yeah. Right. And then Cole Beasley up and retires like 2 days after the game. He's like,
literally,
I've had it. Two games is plenty for me.
I don't want to deal with it.
One target, one catch for 5 yards. I don't think they're going
to
miss him.
That's all he wanted to get. He just wanted to catch one pass.
Yeah.
Last game of the weekend to touch on, Seattle playing the Detroit Lions. You would probably see that on the schedule and go, F that game. I'm not going to tune in for 1 second. 48-45, a barn burner all the way to the end. The Detroit Lions are this year's must-watch team. They don't play defense, ever.
Oh, yeah.
They move the ball. They score points. Jared Goff could be a mistake machine. You never know. I mean, it's a roll of the dice every time this team's on the TV. It's must-watch TV.
It's like watching the Pro Bowl, isn't it? Like, no defense at all. The 32nd ranked defense in the league and the number one offense. T.J. Hockenson, I think he had like 2 touchdowns, 169 yards, and a two-point conversion. I mean, killed it. Won me my week in fantasy. I'll take it. but they're all banged up. Jameson Williams is out, obviously. Amon-Ra St. Brown is out, I think. Chark was DNP, or I think he's back now, you said earlier.
He's practicing again.
Yeah. DeAndre Swift's out. The running back there, Jamal Williams, is pretty damn good backup to have, though. Ragnow's out. Is Ragnow practicing?
He's practicing again as well. They're
how long is Swift, though?
Swift missed last week, and he is considered, they don't come out with the official projections yet, but he's considered doubtful for this week.
It's a fun team to watch, though. They can really score some points, and everybody's healthy. I mean, every game, I feel like, is like a one possession game at the end of the game, and they have like 40 points in them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they lose.
Yeah. I think when I don't know if you guys caught much of Hard Knocks with the Lions this summer, but I think the prevailing idea was that their defense would be better than their offense, not the case.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. They've been drafting defense, haven't they? And they pick like Hutchinson, and last couple of years they brought in some big boys. I know Lee McNeil, but you know, I'm just looking at their defense right now.
Yeah,
Tariq Woolen. Quandre Diggs, Boye Mafe, first round pick, I believe. He might have been late first round pick. He went to Minnesota, or second round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of thin everywhere else, so I mean, yeah, they're a mess.
They've definitely put a lot of resources into the offensive and defensive lines. Their offensive line is pretty good. At least it was the first couple games, and then it started allowing a lot of pressure.
I'm looking at the wrong team. They don't have any of those guys.
But as far as how do you combat the Detroit Lions, first thing that's working in the Patriots' favor is the fact that this game is in Foxborough. They got the home crowd. They're out of doors. Jared Goff notoriously is like a dome, perfect California weather type of guy. I don't know what it's looking like this weekend, but it's supposed to be beautiful. God damn, is it really? Can it be windy? Yeah,
It's supposed to be
59.
You know, yeah, mid 50s, so that could work against them. But he's playing in Detroit, you'd think.
Well, that's a dome. Yeah, but so then DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra St. Brown, as you mentioned, are questionable to doubtful. And then you know, Bills had some success against Jared Goff. I feel like he could dial some things up. Basically, it's about affecting his comfort level in the pocket.
And Goff has had a good, I mean, his completion percentage isn't great, but he's had a good season.
He's definitely had a good, so far.
He's had a good year. He's got a lot of good weapons, but I mean, his two best weapons are out, unless you want to count Hockenson in that mix. And we have had problems against tight ends. You look at Mark Andrews, even Tanyan this past week, Freiermuth and Gesicki have had pretty good games against us so far. So that's a concern. Hockenson's a really good player. And I think Adrian Phillips is the guy you'd want to kind of cover him. And I think Adrian Phillips is a little bit banged up right now. But yeah, I'm just looking at their injury report, and I'm not that concerned. And their defense is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So it should be something. I mean, you know what we're going to do, especially if Zappy plays. We're going to run the ball. And, you know, we might take some shots of play action. I don't know. But we got to get it going here. And this stretch of games, if we don't make a run this stretch of games, our end of the season schedule is a nightmare. It's one of the hardest schedules I've seen in a while. So now's the time to start stringing a couple together.
We have to. I mean, like you were just saying about their defense, the least amount of points they let up was to Minnesota, which was 28. You know, besides that, it's been 27, I'm sorry, to Washington Commanders of all people. you know, but they let up 38 to Philly, 48 to Seattle, and, you know, they got Geno Smith over there, who you can say what you want about him, but he's no showstopper at quarterback. So, I mean, this is a perfect game to get our offense going in some capacity and show that they can score some points and get some confidence going. And you're right, Ryan, like, it's do or die now. You're 1-3. You go to 1-4. Statistically, you know, doing anything, playoff run, all that stuff is, you know, that much more unlikely. And, you know, we have Detroit coming up. We have the Bears coming up. We have Cleveland coming up. You know, certainly not world beaters. If we can, you know, win a couple and get back to 500 or even over 500, a winning record, you know, get some confidence behind these guys, this is the time. If we lose this game, I think we're screwed.
I really do. Yeah. 1-4. You got the Lions this week at home, at Browns, home against the Bears, at the Jets, home against the Colts, bye week, home against the Jets. And after that, it's just brutal. Vikings, yeah. Bills, Cardinals, Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills. So, I mean, if you can't get, I would say, 4 wins out of the next 6 games, then I don't.
And they're all very, you know, I would put it, I think Bill can win all those games with whoever's on the field, whether it's Zappy or Mac or what's going on, unless we have some horrible injuries coming up, more than we've had. I mean, those are all very winnable.
The Browns are a tough team as far as they put up points. They have some defensive guys that
ruin Reset at quarterback. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like you're playing Tampa or something. You know what I mean? It's not one of these really I think Green Bay's better than all those, personally.
Yeah. Brissett's been playing pretty well, though. I don't want to take too much away from him.
No, for sure.
The Colts are a talented team, too. And the Jets look not like the Jets of the last 10 years, I would say. They look a little bit better. So you got to come out to play, man. And this week is the perfect time to get it right and get us to 2-3 and get some momentum building here for this stretch.
Right. Yeah. So I have that fantasy that Mac Jones plays and then puts up 35 points. And then it's like, oh, okay, we feel good.
So do you want him to play? You want him to play this week?
I want him to be healthy enough to play. But if he's not,
I'm nervous because it's a long season.
I don't want him to look like Philip Rivers out there. I don't want him to be dragging his foot around.
I don't want him to play if he's not like 90% healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
So if he's healthy enough, if he's at that level, go ahead and play him, and that should be a win. But honestly, I don't mind Zappy playing turnover free football, conservative football. I think that suits our team. And
we'll see how long that lasts too.
Right. But I'm just saying Mac Jones chucking the ball downfield blindly, which is what we saw the first two, three weeks. Yeah. I don't really want to see that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, the thing I worry about rushing Mac back, it's like it's a 17-game season. I'd like to go to the playoffs. Sure, everyone would. And it's like, you know, an ankle injury like that, if you rush it back, that can be nagging, and especially if you injure it worse in a game, someone rolls up on you or falls on you or something. It's, you know, now it becomes not a couple week injury, it becomes a couple month injury, and, you know, puts the starters in detriment of not being able to do much with a backup, you know, rookie quarterback. So I want Zappy to be able to keep the gas on Mac a little bit, to be like, okay, you know, I'd like him to play this game if Mac's not healthy enough and do well. So it's like, okay, hey, Mac, you know, you're not just sitting pretty as the number one there. Like, you've got a kid behind you that, you know, you got to play competitive football, or, you know, there's options.
I'm curious to see if Aiden Hutchinson lines up over, and I hope he doesn't play, but if he lines up over Isaiah Wynn, I have no confidence there. He's a good player, and I just I'm done with the Isaiah Wynn thing. I want him out. Honestly, I wouldn't even be upset if they caught him and just kept the rest of the year. He's that fucking bad. He's been, you know, he's been making the line look bad all year. And you look at PFF and everyone's got a really good grade. Isaiah Wynn is the weak point, and he's your first round pick. I think he's the only, no, he's not the only one, but he's one of the two you picked in the first round.
Yeah. Well, you know, Trent Brown started off with a rocky, really bad first game, but since then he has been playing much better every week.
Yep.
So, you know, Wynn is the only one. And, you know, a couple of those things, I gotta say, there was a few rushes that got by him where I thought the running back was going to help him or was supposed to help him. I don't know if that was, you know, one particular, Zappy got crushed. Or maybe it was when Hoyer went out. I can't remember which one.
I thought it was, actually, I'm not really sure.
Well,
not really sure.
Gary was coming around the edge and beating Wynn, and Stevenson ran right by him to go out for a pass. And you would have liked to see Stevenson give him a chip. And if he did, I'm sure it would have been fine. But he didn't. I don't know if that's the play call. I don't know if that's Stevenson screwing up or whatever. But it's like, you know, there was a couple plays where we just went five linemen and no extra help. And like, oh, my God, we're going to get rushed. And we did. And it's like, why are you doing that to a rookie?
Yeah.
You can't just, I mean, keep an extra guy in. Go max protect. Send an extra one less guy out or something, because this kid is not ready to handle that type of pressure.
There's not enough blue routes in the system right now. And what is delayed routes where you're blocking for a minute and then you come off.
Right.
There's not a lot of that going on right now. I don't know. You would think it's not that complex to install that kind of game plan. I mean, we need Jonnu Smith back too. If it's not for receiving, just for blocking.
Just for chipping.
Yeah, because he's a really good blocker.
Okay, so.
And little Jordan Humphrey, by the way, is getting way too many fucking snaps. He got, what, 26 snaps to Kendrick Bourne's, like, 23, and only one target?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's almost a wasted position. Just put another offensive lineman in there if that's the case.
It's the old,
you know?
It's the old Who-Man. Who-Man would get, like, 50 snaps a game, and you're like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
100%, you know? Like, just have another. Honestly, I wouldn't even care if we went to that Bills game plan that we had last year with just 6-7 offensive linemen in the game, you know? Yeah. Put Isaiah Wynn somewhere where he can't, where he doesn't have to contain anyone. Put him as a fullback at this point.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Patriots hosting the Lions. I got the Pats winning this game 23-17. Low-scoring affair, mostly based on having either a very limited Mac Jones or a rookie quarterback. But I think Belichick will do a pretty good job defending Goff, and it helps that two of their top playmakers are out.
I'm going to take the Patriots. I think our offense gets going. I think our running game is going to really take advantage of this poor defense. I think we're going to keep the clamps on them just a little bit, a little higher scoring. I'm going to say we score 33 and Detroit scores 24.
Yeah, I like the idea of just kind of playing ball possession, ball control. I think Patriots should win this game just by default of how they can control the game with their running game. I'm going to go past 24, Lions 13, just because they're so banged up.
Feel ya. Okay, looking at some of the other games this weekend, not that many great games. There's not many great games when the first one I'm going to bring up is the Miami Dolphins going to New York to play the Flying Jets. You wouldn't have said this a couple weeks ago, but now you got the Jets, who are now at 2-2, coming off a victory. Zach Wilson had maybe his best quarter as a pro, finishing that game against the Steelers last week. Mm-hmm. Miami's coming in. They're starting to get banged up. We know that Tua's out for this game. They got a backup quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, in there. It's in New York, so the Dolphins can't rely on that heat as their 12th player. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be close. I still took the Dolphins in the game, but I think it could be close.
Yeah, Dolphins, Jets. I mean, it's a game that I would be watching if it wasn't at 1:00.
Yeah.
The Dolphins with Bridgewater, and they're in East Rutherford. I'm thinking the Jets are going to take this. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'm going with the Jets.
Right? It's weird to feel.
Yeah, I just have a feeling about the Jets this week with the Tua situation.
Jets go 3-2.
No update on Tua.
Probably the best record in a decade. Literally.
That was crazy, by the way, seeing what happened to Tua, right?
Yeah, we were talking about it during the game last week when I mentioned that to you guys. It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty scary stuff.
And we saw, how concussed he was the week before. And I guess that guy got fired, the independent agent there that's supposed to be in charge of concussions. And then now they changed the rules. So if you even show a symptom of instability, then you automatically enter concussion protocol and you can't return, which is probably for the best. I mean, if you're stumbling around, you can't tell me that's ankle or knee and back or whatever the fuck, you know, like, yeah. Give me a break.
I can't believe they'd even believe that.
Yeah. And I mean, if Tua never plays again, he's going to have the biggest fucking lawsuit against the NFL, and he should. You know, it's, and I hear some people blaming Tua. Like, you can't blame the player for wanting to play, you know?
No, I mean, that's kind of, you know, you would like for the player to be like, you know, Hoyer apparently took himself out. Hoyer's also a 38-year-old who probably doesn't even want to be in there, realistically.
He probably just wants to coach.
Tua's a, you know, their top team at the time. You know, the best he's done. He's gotten a lot of shit for being a bad quarterback, and he's finally playing well. And his team's finally playing well. Of course he's going to want to get back in there and say, oh, yeah, it's a back injury. And it's up to the, you know, it's supposed to be out of his hands. That's the whole point of the freaking rule. And it's supposed to kind of be out of the coach's hands. Coach is supposed to say something. I didn't really like what Mike McDaniel said. He kind of played dumb to the whole thing. I guess that's what I would expect.
Yeah, it was irresponsible. Those comments were irresponsible.
You know, right. You know, if everyone in the country is watching on their TV and is like, oh, he's concussed, and you're like, oh, yeah, I thought it was just a back injury. It's like, no, you didn't. Yeah. There was no part of you that thought that was a back injury. When you see someone, I mean, we've all played football. We saw those things happen, and it's pretty obvious when somebody on the field, you know, gets up and stumbles and like can't walk straight or falls over or something, and you're like, oh God, get him like medic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's like, a good rule.
People have seen that.
That's a good rule to instate, and it's the right thing to do. And I hope he gets well. You know, I'm not a huge fan of his, but you know, you don't want to see that. And I think he's in a contract. Is he in a contract year or an option year?
He could get the extension after this year.
Okay.
You have to wait until after your third year on your rookie contract.
Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater looks awful, by the way.
Yeah, he looks terrible. I know. Isn't
he looks
it amazing?
Like he can't throw the ball. Yeah, he looks like he's labored throwing the ball. Like he can throw it like 40 yards max.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What a strange career he had. I mean, obviously got derailed by the terrible knee injury. But he looked really promising as a younger player, and then he winds up playing pretty well for the Saints, and then gets a decent contract with Carolina, and then doesn't see most of that contract. And
yeah, it's really strange. It's a really strange career path. Some really good games he's had in the past, you know. I think the Broncos, for the Broncos a little bit.
Did he play for the Broncos too?
I remember him. I feel like he's been around, man. Louisville quarterbacks are crazy. You know?
Brian Brom.
Brian Brom.
What a name.
Shit.
Bring it back.
Wow.
Okay. I mentioned this one earlier. Philadelphia going to Arizona. Mm-hmm. Eagles riding high. Arizona is just an odd team. You never know who you're going to see out there at quarterback for the Cardinals. It's some days he's incredible and unstoppable, and some days doesn't seem to be able to piece together a single drive. This is one of those games. I could see it. I could totally see Arizona winning this game.
I could too. This is the type of game they do win, and everyone's like, oh, Arizona, and then they just...
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't stand that Kyler Murray. I don't know why. I just fucking hate that Kyler Murray dude. Rondell Moore, what's going on with their weapons? Every time I watch them, it's like A.J. Green is their number one receiver. I think DeAndre Hopkins, is he still suspended?
Yeah, six
games.
I want to say he's suspended. And then what's going on with the kid from Purdue there, Rondell Moore? Like...
Number four, Rondell Moore.
Not like doing good.
Marquise Brown. I guess Marquise Brown is in one.
Marquise Brown's doing actually pretty well for them.
Okay. Yeah, it's a weird team, man. They were on the up a couple years ago, and now I feel like they're just so middling. You know, it's really strange.
Yeah, they built that team 8 years ago or so with Carson Palmer at quarterback and Larry Fitzgerald, and they had a bunch of good players, but they were all old. And it was this window is as small as it's cracked open. Barely.
Yeah.
And then they do this whole rebuild, and then Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray, and they rebuild, and they got a bunch of good players. And now you start looking around, and you're like, God damn it, they got old again in a hurry. They got A.J. Green and J.J. Watt. And why is everyone so ancient on this team?
Zach Ertz and fucking, I don't know. They got some good players, especially on defense when you look at it. I love that kid from Clemson, Isaiah Simmons. I think he's probably not playing that well, but yeah. I mean, it's one of those players. It's like, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety?
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter. He's a fucking freak. I don't know, man. I for some reason, I'm just down on the Cardinals this year, even though I think they've won two games.
They're up and down. You don't know who you're going to get.
Eagles are legit, man. Eagles are definitely legit.
Absolutely.
I'll go with the Eagles in that one.
Me too.
I saw another good one. Not good, but yeah, let me look at the schedule. You have it in front of you.
Bengals, Ravens,
Sunday
night.
Bengals, Ravens. That's a good game, man. Those fucking teams hate each other. something about that those AFC North matchups, man. They're so violent.
They
all can't stand each other.
Yeah.
And those are probably the two best teams in that division, right?
Yep.
So
two of the best teams in the conference, really.
Yeah, a lot of talent on both those teams. Is it in Baltimore? Or?
It's in Baltimore.
I picked Baltimore. They've got a lot to prove. I want Cincy.
They're both 2-2 teams.
Yeah.
Ravens are 0-2 at home. You know, they got a lot to prove there.
Yeah.
I also like the Raiders Chiefs. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead there.
Raiders Chiefs. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, could kind of see the Chiefs dropping that, but I don't know. I mean, Raiders are just starting to get it together, it seems like, you know.
Max Crosby's taken off. He always gives them difficulty.
Yeah, and they got Davante Adams involved, finally.
Finally.
10 or 11 catches last week.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then the Chargers going to Cleveland to play the Browns.
The Steamers?
The Steamers.
Is that a 1 o'clock game?
I don't have it in front of me. But
It is.
Yeah. 1 o'clock.
Chargers are getting a little banged up, kind of all over the place. So they're going to have their hands full trying to contain Nick Chubb in this running game. Myles Garrett, unknown if he'll play this weekend. They might catch a break
watching. I don't think he's going to play. I was watching Red Zone, and I guess the Browns are one of two teams that scored 28 points in every week so far.
Wow.
Insane.
Yeah. You just didn't think that, right? And then you watch Nick Chubb, and you see why, and it's just like, he's fucking automatic. Right now, for me, I think he's the best back in the league.
He is. He's the most complete. It's amazing that we picked Sony Michel over him to this day.
You'll never get
it. Don't understand how that was possible.
Don't bring it up, dude. Come on.
I don't know how that's possible. Don't.
You know, dude, I see people saying, like, oh, we could have had Jalen Hurts over Kyle Duggar, and we could have had A.J. Brown over N'Keal Harry. Yeah, you know, we could have done all those things. But, I mean, what are you going to do about it now?
Every team could have had Tom Brady over what's-his-nuts that they picked instead at 130.
Well, that one sticks with me because it's like you took the player from the same freaking school at the same position.
I mean, you could have had Lamar Jackson when Tom Brady was still there to back him up and take over. You know, you could say that till you're blue in the face, man. Hindsight's always 20/20. Those drafts, you don't really know, you know.
But I just don't understand what we saw in Sony over Chubb. That's all.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
They were both
like you went to the same pro day and saw both of them.
Well, it's not like it was unheard of. Like going into the draft, Sony Michel had a higher rating.
No, I know.
Nick Chubb did. It's not like my thing with it
was the medical history. There is just like glaring. Yeah. You know, this guy's had two major knee operations on both knees, and you took him in the first round. Like Sony was fine. You know, he was
Sony
fine.
Did well. He did he's well for playing? A couple years.
Still he was fine, he? But he's no Nick Chubb. I mean,
I thought he got cut and he hasn't picked up anywhere.
No, have you seen that video of Nick Chubb squatting like 650 fucking pounds?
Yeah.
No.
I'm worried for his spine while he's doing that.
Yeah, but then you see him break tackles with his legs, and it's just like, oh, that's why he does it.
That's,
you know,
yeah,
he's
that's how he can
fucking
do that
animal.
Stuff. Okay, a little deep dive there on Nick Chubb. We'll get to talk about him more in a couple weeks when he's facing off against the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
But going into this weekend, so we got week 5 to look forward to. Patriots will get another home game. We're get to see the red jerseys this weekend, so a lot to look forward to in this one.
Mm-hmm. Best jerseys in football, the red homes, the old school red homes, man. The best logo, bring it all back, dude.
All of it. All the time.
Oh, it's fantastic. I just want to say this. The Commanders, Guardians, football team, whatever the fuck they are, their black jerseys are sick.
Those are sweet, right?
Those mm-hmm. very nice. Those are very nice. I like those.
I don't think I've ever seen those before. Dang.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. Yeah.
Good. So we'll get some jersey peeping this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We will be back next week to break down the Patriots and the Lions and everything else in the NFL.
Yeah, man. All right, guys.
Fantastic.
See ya.
Fantastic. Adios.